Is my sound okay?
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to ThickCast. I'm your host, Molly Edwards, and joining me on the podcast today is the photographer that most people know, is Matt Thomas.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, they don't normally see my face, do they? Because it's normally like a camera in front of it. So this is probably the first time that most people would, well, if they watch it on YouTube, then yeah, they would see my face.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get a picture of you at some point
Okay.
to put on the title of the episode. So if you're listening to it as well, they will see your face on there. I'll just get like a really close up of literally just your face like this.
Yeah, just that, and then like a camera lens next to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to put a camera and I'm going to put you in the middle of the camera lens.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would be lovely. People will think, though, with that kind of style editing that you've done it, but it won't, it will have been me.
You on Canva.
Me, okay, literally, yeah. Canva is life. So obviously you photograph for a lot of shows and do your own kind of studio photography as well. What shows have you done? Do you do? I know you've got.
So this season, so 2025, it's FitEx and then WFF, and then there's also a GBO show as well, so in the middle of all of that. So yeah, three federations this year, which tends to be sort of like the norm. I tend to get like booked by a lot of people, sticking to like the main two, which is like FitEx and then what used to be NFM is now being transitioned over to being WFF UK. And then previous seasons, like how I got into photography or stage photography, was actually
Yeah.
shooting for Two Bros.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask that, like, how did you get into all this? I'm guessing you were originally doing studio photography and then went into the stage stuff, or?
Yeah, so I'd done a lot of like gym shoots. And then had a friend of mine, Jody Wright.
Yeah.
So he's based sort of Swindon, so not too far from me. And then he got approached by Two Bros when they sort of first came about. So that's back in like 2017, 18. And he wanted me to be part of this like photography team. So there was me, Jody, Ian Barclay is a Scottish photographer, does more like studio stuff.
Yeah.
And then another local guy, Pav, who's from near like Tewkesbury area, I think he is. So I saw him the other week, just randomly at some like studio meetup thing. So, oh, it's you again. Not seen him in years. But yeah, Jody sort of put together this like media team to then
Yeah.
start shooting Two Bros. So the very first show was the Royal London Pro,
Okay.
which was based near the old like Olympic Village. So they had a venue in there, like Stratford.
That yeah, I know Stratford well actually, yeah.
Yeah, so where you've got like the shopping centre,
Yeah.
the Queen Elizabeth Park area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was just there. So I didn't know what to expect really, because I'd done all my like personal shoots, all my like fitness stuff, the old gym based things. So I was used to doing that, and I wanted to sort of try and get into, you know, stage photography, because I've been to like when Body Power is still around, so I've been to a few like Body Power shows, seen like PCA, and then like NABBA was sort of like a big thing back then as well. So this
Yeah.
was back in like 2016, 17. And then, lucky enough, sort of got this opportunity to work alongside Jody, shooting the stage, and it was sort of open my eyes to how manic a show day can be,
I
because
don't know what you're talking about, Matt. No
I had no
idea.
expectation of what it was going to be like, because
Yeah.
I'd seen, you know, a few like shows and everything else like that, but never really seen, I've seen the images, but never seen like the process of doing it. So to start with, I was just doing some like side of stage shots, and then Jody was doing like the front of stage, and then halfway between the break we swapped over. Then I was doing the side of stage, the front of stage, and yeah, that was quite an eye opener, shall we say. But it's also the show that Wesley Vizzers won his IPV Pro card. And then Mike Summerfield also. So I've got their very first original pro winning shots back then, and then I was able to have my stuff sort of shared on Mr. Olympia page. So that was, quite a big sort of thing. And it sort of like snowballed from then, really. So then then a few more sort of shows of them. And then halfway through, like 2019, had NFM reach out to me and offered me the job of doing their front of stage as being like the main photographer. Because I'd always worked alongside somebody. So this was the first gig of me actually being the name, the headline photographer in the show.
That's pretty cool. And now you have people that work alongside you as well, don't you?
Yeah, so this season, well, last season I had Will Klee, Devon sort of based. So I've known him for years, and then I reached out to him because there was two shows on one weekend, so on one day. I don't mind doing like back-to-back shows, so like a Saturday, Sunday, but I can't be in two places at once, unfortunately, as much as I love to, cover more shows. So I reached out to Will to be like, oh, look, can you come and shoot this show down in Watford? Because it was NFM's final show. So, I had to sort of be there for that because it's, that's what sort of started my main journey into doing the whole fitness photography. And then he got sent down to the FitEx sort of London show and then sort of covered that. And then again, this season, there's two dates that he's covering. It just so happened to be both for the Welsh FitEx shows. So nothing against Wales at all. But unfortunately, I won't be at those shows. But I'm getting Will to come on.
Close for you, really, isn't it? Because you're Gloucester,
Pardon?
aren't you? You're Gloucester, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm Gloucester.
So Wales is fairly close.
It's fairly close, but it's also the fact that because I do the video side of it now as well. And it's then like, which show do I go to then offer the video? So Will's going to be doing like the still photography, whereas I'm, any show that I'm at, I'm doing the pictures and the videos, so the eye walks and the reels and all that sort of stuff.
And I think as well, I guess that's just leveling up your business a bit more and being able to offer that service because it is something that people want.
Yeah, because it all happened because of, so NFM used to have a videographer come along and then film some stuff, but it was never really that great. And I was just and I'd seen stuff by Gilko, who's like the main guy out in America that does all the stuff. And I remember watching one live stream once, and he was showing his sort of process of like how he gets the videos. And I always thought that he'll be filming it vertically. But then I tried that once. And as soon as somebody then walks out of the main center spot, you're then like missing out an arm or cutting something out or anything else like that. And then he showed that he actually films it landscape, so like horizontally. And then in editing, then it crops in. And then because you've got this all this extra space, it then tracks the person. Which is how I'm able to then do the routines and stuff like that. So like your sisters from last year at the NFM show, because she doesn't have a routine and she goes along the stage, I've just got the camera set in a certain distance. And then as long as you're within that sort of space, the camera's then gonna film all of that, and then in editing it's then tracked and it moves along. So it creates sort of a more fluid movement from there. So that's what I decided to do last year, because I tried it at one show and then put it online, and then reception of it was amazing. So I thought, right, I'm going to offer it as another sort of service. So you've got your photos, your videos, because I'm in, the right space to do it. I'm dead center of the stage. There's me. And then, I've got two cameras, buy another tripod, set that up, press record, and that's pretty much it. So then, yeah, last year it was offering both photos and videos, and same again sort of this year. You're just sort of trying to, level up each time. So much so that at the start of this year, I've then bought a new lens that's dedicated just doing video stuff. So it did cost
Mm-hmm.
me quite a bit, but it's a lens that is going to elevate me again, because I'm then able to, cover the stage a lot more, rather than just, having to rely on keep swapping lenses around and stuff like that. So I can just focus on taking out some of the stress, so I can then still, be shooting the photos. And then the videos have then got, a dedicated camera that's there just for doing the video content, and hopefully create some more amazing reels that everybody loves.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is it, isn't it? Sometimes you have to spend the money, but it actually, if it makes your job a bit easier, and it saves you a bit of time or whatever, and it you can offer something else with that, and you're just streamlining. That's often the best way, isn't it?
Yeah, massively. And then, because it is, I'm, like I said, I'm in the best spot possible, it means that every video is directly from the same angle as the pictures,
Yeah. That's true as
rather than
well.
being slightly off to the side and everything else like that. Because I know at one of the shows that the guy didn't even have his camera like bolted, well, not bolted down, but on a tripod. So it's all handheld, and it looks all a little bit like jittery and everything else like that, and you can't really sort of see anything. And then one time there was some company that done some like live stream thing, and then the videos that people had paid for were then just like offcuts of some live stream, and it
Oh, you
wasn't.
got, yeah, someone walking past in the background or something.
Whereas at least with mine, I make sure that I'm positioned in the best possible, and then nobody's going to get in my way. Because I know how important it is that you have the best visuals from your show day, down to, how much time, effort you take into, prep.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is that you, I know, obviously, I've worked alongside of you from a judging perspective. And it is always like you get the right spot, and then if sometimes we have to do a little duck, don't we? In
Yeah,
the winner's
that's just
room.
down to the height of some of the stages that people use. Like, my ideal stage would be, a stage that's 4 or 5 foot off the floor. So then when you're sat down, you don't have any heads in the way, and
Yeah.
then as much lighting as possible. If it's got a nice fancy screen, then fair. But that seems to be the thing that people go for, is more like the production rather than the final finished product of,
Yeah.
the best thing is to make sure your lighting's the best.
Yeah.
If you've got
How
rubbish
important is
lighting.
that for you? Because I was at a show last year and none of our photos were great, and the photographer was like, I did the best I could. Like the lighting was just really, really bad. Is that a thing or?
No, I've been at some shows, and then you'll have, so Leeds Carriage Works, I remember like 2, 3 years ago. So shot that venue, and they had mixed lighting. And by mixed lighting, I mean in terms of like different color temperatures. So they had some like LEDs on the side, and then the old like stage theater HMI lights. So they're like a warmer color, but then the LEDs were then a colder color, and they had this like strange purple hue. And what some people like to do, they like to get, this dramatic effect by like fading all the lights out and then bringing them all back up. But with a lot of these older theatres, it takes a while for them to warm back up again, and they start off colder. So my camera settings never change during a show, because I can't be there changing, tweaking, moving things around. So, I'd set my camera to be a certain white balance, a certain shutter speed and aperture, ISO, to make sure that it's set for there. As soon as those lights turned off and went back on again, everything had changed. So I'm then having to, when I'm sorting the photos out, is then like re-edit them, make them look slightly different. So yeah, that is a thing, that some venues aren't the best. So you just try and work with what you've got. Like, the next stage for me is something that like Gilco does out in America.
Just frozen as well. I don't know if that's where you've done your little setup today.
Oh no.
Webcam utility, Nikon. Oh, you're back. You're
I'm
back.
back.
Yeah, there you go. You're all right again
Yeah.
now. Yeah.
It's probably on a, I've not turned off the auto shut off thing.
Maybe not, no. Do you?
No. Oh no.
Been all clever this morning, didn't you?
I know. I've ruined it now.
Matt sent me a photo of his setup. He's got like this full-on camera setup. It's like I just open my laptop and go for it.
Well, I tried to do something nice for you, Molly.
No, and I do really appreciate it. I'm
Yeah.
just letting you know when it doesn't work, that's all.
Yeah, well, it was one of those things that I was just like, right, and I've got like 10 minutes to try and get everything sorted up. So I had everything ready, but then it's the fact I then didn't restart my laptop so it didn't connect up. So there's probably one setting that I've not sort of changed. So I might just have to like reach around and then just keep like pressing the camera slightly so it doesn't fall asleep again.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're saying so the camera you had to keep changing the settings on.
Yeah, so the in editing I then had to like change my edit of the pictures,
Yeah.
which when you've gone through, 10, 12,000 photos is then quite a lot to go through these last ones, especially when it's like the winning shots.
Yeah.
And those are like one of the most sort of important things that people want to have. So yeah, it would be nice to do something similar to like what Gilco does in America, which would be the next step of like bringing lights to venues.
Yeah.
He brings like extra lights to that, or just as much as people dislike competing in a leisure centre,
Yeah.
like Two Bros now, they have got their sort of like stage lighting down to be quite consistent.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the issue with the leisure centre is, from my perspective anyway, as an athlete, is the stage, the backstage, whatever, but it's the fact that when you're waiting to go backstage, you can't be anywhere. There's nowhere
No.
for you to sit. There's nowhere for you to check in. That's, for me, that's what I don't like about it, is like you're with your coach and you're trying to check in, you're getting told, oh, you need to put more clothes on, or you need to go outside. Well, it's raining outside, so my tan will run. So that's, for me, what the kind of main issue is there. But like you said, their lighting, to be fair, does always look pretty good.
Yeah, it's probably the most consistent it has sort of been. And that's the thing, like with the shows that I do, because they tend to be a lot more like regional, it's I know certain venues that work quite well, but then there's some that I'll just like, oh, you've booked that one again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why have you done that?
Yeah. But
Have a bit of an input when you speak to them and say, you know, say Darren's booking the show to fix, so you have a bit of an input and say to him, like, this venue's horrendous, like, please don't book that again.
I've never really sort of had any input in terms of like where the show locations are. I know when he's sort of put some shows out, because I get like a rough list before everything gets like launched. So I'm able to like book out dates in my calendar to make sure I don't get double booked, even though that's happening. But then it's also down to like the personal shoots as well, because my personal shoots are then done around like the shows.
Yeah.
Or then block it on my calendar straight away. So then my personal shoot calendar that people can go online and book and everything else like that doesn't interfere with the shows.
Yeah.
But I know sometimes when I've seen a venue that I've either shot in before or I've seen people shoot in, I'll be like, ah, okay.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah, but you just work with what you're given.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes me like one of the better sort of stage photographers out there, is because of the challenges that I've sort of faced at shows that I then know how to make the best out of that situation.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Like driving all the way up to Scotland to then shoot a show, to then drive down to Wolverhampton to then shoot another show the following day. And you've then got like two lots of stage photos, or you've shot an expo show and then like the power's gone out, and so you're then having to try and work to make sure things are back running straight away. Or I've had it before when I've been shooting shows, because all of my show stuff I tether directly to my laptop,
Yeah.
so it's onto my laptop, onto a hard drive, and it's saved that way. Whereas when I first done it with like Two Bros, it was I tried to do that at one of the shows. I think it was the Ben Weeder show they had. But then I didn't have any power going to my laptop, so I only had the internal battery. And when you're using it a long period of time, laptop dies and then that's it. Whereas, now I turn up to a venue and be like, right, where's the power source? Because that's the first thing I need before I start, setting up anything, is working out where I'm getting the power from for my laptop, for my camera. But then, like this year, I'm actually just going to use, I bought extra batteries for my cameras because of the issue I had at the finals last year, where the power went at the NEC, which then meant
Oh, I
my
didn't know
laptop's
that.
fine. My laptop's fine because it's got an internal battery. But because I take the battery out of my camera and plug it directly into the mains, my camera's then turned off. So I then can't carry on shooting, even though there's no lights on the stage. So technically, you should, pause and wait until all that comes back on. But I've learned my lesson, and it's one of those things that you then use that as, right, buy some extra batteries, do this, so I know for next time that I've got everything that's then covered.
Yeah, and also when you are shooting people, I think people don't actually realize this, but say I'm booking my stage photography and I do it before the show, that's cool, but you don't actually know who's booked it and who hasn't to a point, do you? Or you just shoot everyone.
Yeah, so I'll have like the orders like before the show, and then I'll be able to sort of see how many people have like booked in and everything else like that. And there'll be like some people that might be like a regular person. So, if I see your name pop up, it'll be like, oh, it's Molly. And then, I know who you are. But yeah, to the extent of, I turn up to a show, there could be 60 people, but I've only had 20 people book directly with me. I still have to shoot 60 people because I don't know if someone's going to book after the show, or if they book it the day after, week after. I've had some people want their pictures a year after they've competed to be like, oh, do you still have the photos from X shows? It's like, yeah, no, I've still got everything. I've still got all the photos from 2019.
Really, just lots of hard drives, places.
Yeah, lots of hard drives, and even like your stage galleries, so all the galleries stay online. So it's like an online gallery. So no matter when you've competed, so I've still got your Compaq winning pictures. So that's the first time we sort of met, was at the Compaq show. You and Andy winning the overall. Yeah. So I can, go onto my online gallery and find that straight away because they're all still there. That was like 21.
2021.
Yeah.
You get quite a lot of people then after they've done their show, then order the photos.
I'd say the majority tend to do it before, and then you get a selection like afterwards. When it's like a finals or something like that, one of the bigger shows, you then tend to get like more people book like either side of it. But I think nowadays, because there's so many shows, and then like the cost of competing, the cost of prep and everything else like that, people tend to forget about the photography. And they just rely on, having their iPhone, taking an iPhone snap, and think that's going to do it. But the thing is that with your iPhone, you can't see the detail, especially when you'll be like so far back. Whereas, I use like a big lens like this. So it's a big, massive telephoto lens. That means that I can be wherever and then still be able to like zoom in directly to you at the stage and then see all the details.
It is hard though. I know when I competed last year, I didn't bother buying my two bros photos. I only bought my ones from PCA.
Yeah.
Some of it was because I kind of knew that sometimes their photos aren't the best, which I've had previous.
Yeah.
And also I was just kind of like, didn't really care about that show. So I was like, I want to do, if I'm getting photos, I want them to be from the shows that I've really enjoyed and things.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the thing as well. It's like the experience you have for the show or like the federation, and it's, a lot of people will be like, oh, I ordered your pictures because I've always, had them and they've been the best and all this sort of stuff. And like, to me, I wouldn't say that I'm like the best. I'm quite good, and there's always room for improvement. And that's what I've always sort of tried to do. But I can look back at like old stage photos and be like, really, that's something I put out, to then, what I'm, putting out now. The fact, I have bought like new cameras, new lenses, invested in like, better editing software, all this sort of stuff. And it's having that sort of process in place. But it's being more like personable as well. Because I think that's what helps us. You know, it's the fact that people come up to you at shows and be like, "Oh, hey, nice to meet you," and all this sort of stuff. I'm so and so, because I've seen an order come through, and like you said before, I have no idea who anybody is. Like when you're on stage, you're just a tanned person with a badge number. And I don't know who you are until I then start going through and sorting out all the pictures afterwards. You know, when I've got 15, 16, you know, I had one show, I had like 25,000 photos to go through.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And then still able to get them out in like 2, 3 days. Because that's the one thing that I'm sort of trying and make sure that I'm good at is I know how eager everyone is to get their pictures back straight away. So I normally say like within 7 days, and I've only had it once that I've gone over.
Didn't you have a big issue with something happened?
Yeah, so I had a hard drive fail. So I had shot the whole show and then come back home, plug my hard drive into my main PC, and then it said database not found for the file system that I use. And it's like, well, that's a bit weird, you know, as soon as I used it yesterday. And then tried to sort of recover it. And I thought, okay, right, I'll just create a new template, copy the photos over, and it's fine. So I started copying them over. It said it'd take like 45 minutes. And I was just like, okay, I'll go away and come back. But I started watching it, and then within a minute, it sort of stopped. I just thought, oh, maybe it's done. So then loaded up the software, and then it had all the folders, but then it only had five pictures in my like show extras folder, which is just me doing like test shots to make sure the lighting's fine and the camera settings and everything else. Then everything else, it just said no images, no images, no images. Looked on the hard drive, and then yeah, it somehow disappeared. And had to quickly find some guy local to do some hard drive recovery. And then he was able to luckily get everything sort of saved and back. But yeah, that was a week of me literally sweating and worrying, is this the end of my stage career? And that was in like 2022.
Yeah, I remember it was a little while ago now. But
Yeah.
it's scary because it's like, okay, all these people are going to be upset because they haven't got their photos. But equally for you, like, you know what people are like on social media. You know that nothing you could have done, shit happens. But you know
No.
that some people don't view it as that. And they'd be all over Instagram like, Matt Thomas is a fraud and he's ripped me off and he was just pretending to take photos all day. You know, you'd get like random shit like that.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Because I'll just say, because I'm quite an honest guy. Well, I am an honest guy. I wouldn't say quite. I am a very honest guy. That I had a message from Darren that said, "Oh, do you have the winning pictures?" And I just thought, "Oh shit," you know. I at the moment I don't because you know my hard drive's failed. But just like, how can I tell somebody that without them kicking off? And then it's, you know, the 65 athletes that have paid for pictures, how do I tell them? So I wanted to put out like a post on social media, but then just like, well, no, because the thing is, like, if you put the post out, that's then out to everybody. So I then just put an email out to so I had obviously the email list of everybody that had bought stuff. So yeah, so I just put an email out, be like, you know, sorry, this has happened. You know, my hard drive's been sent off to a guy. Hopefully here by the end of the week. Leave it with me. I know how desperate people are, so just hold fire for now. But then, like, someone took that and be like, "Oh, I just had an email back from the photographer, and I've lost the pictures." Just like, no, it's out of my control. Like, things happen, and like again, like I said before, with like the batteries. I learned from my mistakes and then used a different sort of hard drive. So I never used the hard drive again and went back to what I used previously. But then on that same hard drive, I had all my personal shoots from that year as well. So I've just that, you know, I've got my own personal work that people have paid. So it's not only the athletes, it's then the people that have booked gym shoots and everything else. They're just like, have I still got all that stuff coming through?
It's quite
So yeah, it
that.
was a lot, but yeah, I managed to get it back and got it all done just over a day, over a day after the 7 days.
I know you don't really sleep in show season. I know it's just kind of a awake.
No, but I think because I then can't switch off, I'm one of those people that when I know I've got something to do and I've got people like relying on me, I want to get it done straight away so then it can be like, right, weight off the shoulder sort of thing. Whereas, you know, when you shot a whole show, I tend to take like the day after just to relax, breathe, and recompose, and then start going through stuff. So that's the day after is when I then send out like the winning photos to the Federation. And then the next day is then when I'll be, going through and making sure I've got all the photos ready and done. Because you have to be in that sort of right mindset. Whereas if you shot a whole show, like show days can be, 10, 12 hours, because I'll be there early morning setting up, and
Exhausting.
I'll be the first person there, the last person to leave. It's just like right now, and just sit down at my PC and then just go through and find out. But sometimes it's the fact that when you've got like a poor venue, you're just like, oh great, I now need to go through and try and sort this out.
What would you say is the worst venue that you have to shoot in? And what's your favorite venue that you shoot in?
I think one of my favorite venues was the Warrington venue from last year. So it's the one that your sister done.
I don't think I was in at that show.
No, you weren't there. But it was a good venue in terms of like quite a nice big stage, high stage. Managed to get the lighting right in the end. Because the thing is, I'm then working with the venue to be like, right, make sure the light's here and do this, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it was, nice, well lit. Probably one of the worst venues was I want to say the Watford one.
I'm sure I've been to that one, but I can't think.
Two Bros on a show there.
I've not been with Two Bros. I did good old Maidenhead.
Yeah. Oh, in the tennis courts. But no, it's because it's a very like old theatre, and then there's no like space. So a lot of times I like venues where I can have, my own little spot. Whereas this, I was then like shooting up in the back of the venue. In the seats stage. So then when you're down, everyone's then looking smaller and everything else like that. So it's not the best thing for, taking stage pictures. I know one time when it was COVID, or just after COVID, that Wales were in this like lockdown, still keep your distance sort of thing, which were different to everyone in England. And then there was the show at the riverfront in Newport. And the only place that I could be was like right at the back, like right at the very top. Which, if you've ever been to the riverfront, it's quite a way away from the stage. And what they were doing is they were then making sure that it was a clear row, a row, a clear row, a row. So there was, all this sort of separation and spacing and everything else like that. Just like, can I not go down like two or three things and then a bit like, a little bit closer to the stage? Went, no, this is where you have to be. So I was so far back, I then had to, on my camera, be at the longest focal length and then crop in afterwards
Oh gosh.
because I was that far away.
That just sounds like a faff, to be honest.
Yeah. So it wasn't too bad because like no one sort of really realized that that's what you had to do because you still get all the shots, professionally done. But because my cameras are such high in terms of like the megapixel count, it then meant that I was then able to, just crop in a little bit. So you're not losing much detail. Ideally I'd be like down at the front and shooting that way. But I had to be like right at the back in the rafters, pretty much like next to the lighting DJ booth.
Oh, nice. At least you had a friend.
Oh no, because I had to keep space because it was COVID.
You could wave. You could
Yeah,
just.
you could wave. Yeah. And then like elbow, because you couldn't handshake, could you? So
That was so weird. Like,
yeah.
why did they think of that and be like, this is the nice and
Yeah,
normal way?
it's a nice just elbow people.
But no one did it apart from like Boris Johnson.
Yeah.
Like no one else is doing that.
No, it was a strange time. But that was also quite a tough time as well because I was made redundant in 2019 from my full-time job,
What were you doing full time?
digital marketing. So I used to work for Gloucestershire College doing digital marketing stuff. But I've then done the photography on the side. So doing like all gym shoots at a local gym, because I have to use that out of hours on a Saturday, Sunday. So I've then working Monday to Friday doing my digital marketing, and then Saturday, Sunday, like 6 on a Saturday, 4 on a Sunday, I'll be then doing like gym shoots and stuff like that. So I'm pretty much working most of the time like 7 day weeks, because I'll be doing a shoot, then editing, and then working and training and all that sort of stuff. And then after like 2.5, sort of 3 years, they were going through like a restructure. So I was then made redundant in my full-time job, which then gave me the leap to then do photography as a profession, in a part-time thing. So right, I'm going to make this work, because at the time I had Bodybuilding UK get in touch with me to do some like headshots for their UK ambassador program. So I went down to their HQ in Bedford and done that. And then Fitness Superstore, so like the home gym equipment company, because there's one in Gloucester. So I'd done some stuff for them before at their branch, and then had the main guy be like, "Oh, can you come to our office in Northampton and then shoot some like big gym machinery and all that sort of stuff?" And I was like, "Oh, it's amazing! I've left my full-time job. I've then got these two big gigs, and then at the same time, I then had NFM approached me to then start doing stage stuff." So just like, oh, so it's not going to be that bad going,
I think
self-employed.
sometimes that is like being made redundant is that push that you need to actually, when you've got something in your head, actually I want to do this, but it's scary. Sometimes that's the jump and the push that you need to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's gone from like me working in like a camera store to then me doing like digital marketing. So a lot of the stuff I've done over my years, like in my career in employment life, has then helped me to get the equipment that I need, get the contacts within the camera and photo industry, so I can message people to be like, "Oh, do you have a part, use this, or an ex-demo unit," so we're able to get things a little bit sort of cheaper. Because that's how I was able to build up all my lighting stuff at the start, was knowing the right people, and rather than paying like full price, I was then getting it, sort of external units and stuff like that, because they still work. And then like this, oh no, it's another camera. So one of these cameras I had when I was working at the camera store, it was it's an ex-demo unit, like a refurb thing. And then because I was in the store, I was then able to check the shutter counts of the cameras. Because a lot of times they have them on like a touch and try table, and people just press the button and sort of see and stuff like that. So I managed to pick one up that only had 200 shots taken for like a third of the price.
That's pretty good, isn't
Yeah. And that was, the camera that I had for, 2, 3 years, and then upgraded it and stuff like that over time. But yeah, it was when I then took that leap into doing like the full-time photography stuff. Is it is quite a nerve-wracking thing, but then because I had the website that I built myself, that people can just go onto Google, type fitness photography, and then I normally come out like top sort of search from there. That's all from my marketing knowledge back at the college. So a lot of that has then been built up over time to then allow me to elevate myself to be, one of the leading names in UK fitness photography.
That's pretty cool. And what do you prefer now? Do you prefer the stage photography or do you prefer the shoot with different people?
I'd say it's a mixture. It depends, because like, I like the personal shoots, because it's then like a one-on-one level, and then you build up a bit of rapport and stuff like that, and you can be, a bit more creative with stuff. Because at the end of the day, you're there trying to capture that person in the best possible light. And when you've got the light set up, and then you're, feeding back and forth, be like, "Oh, what do you want to capture? I want to try and do something like this." It is a lot of fun. And like the stage stuff, it's nice, traveling around and seeing people, because a lot of times when it's off season, I don't really see many people.
No, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'd only see people when it's at, expos or shows, and then you meet people and stuff like that. Unless you go to a gym and then you'll see, a friendly face there. But a lot of times
I
it's.
never see you at the gym, which is only around the corner from your house.
That's because I go to JP's.
Well, don't.
Yeah.
It's quite simple, really, Matt.
Yeah. No, I need to go back to Darksider again and stuff like that, but because I go and see my partner lives over in like Witney area, like Cheltenham's like along the way. So a lot of times, like if I'm going to see her, I'll be, driving the ch like past Cheltenham anyway. So I'll go to Cheltenham and then train and then go and see her. Or, if I'm coming back, then I'll go sort of go that way. But I've got like three gym memberships. So I've got like the one I normally use for my shoots.
Yeah.
I've got a Pure Gym in Witney, so I can train with Ellie. And then I've got the JP.
You're a baller, aren't you now?
No, it's down to like being around the right people.
100%.
So, a lot of athletes and stuff like that tend to go to the other gyms. So that's why I
Yeah.
sort of, try and like put myself in there. And, back when it was Hollinshead, it was nice to, go to the gym and actually see him and sit down and talk to him and everything else like that. Because I remember back when it was like lockdown and COVID, that he put out a thing where it's the whole like Call of Duty Warzone that he was doing some like tournaments. So then add him as a friend. So I've still got him as a friend on like the PlayStation.
That's really cool.
And then we played COD the other day because he needed an extra person. So when he then had a gym, and then we didn't like see him and like sit down and talk. And he congratulated me when it was my engagement like last year. Like he just come up to me in the gym and just like, oh,
Yeah.
congratulations and stuff like that. So it's the fact it's that friendly sort of face that makes you want to go and train.
Yeah, 100%. I do think that's a big thing with gyms, isn't it? Is you want a gym that's got the kit in. I was
Yeah.
actually having a conversation with this earlier today, actually. You want a gym that's got really good kit so that you can train. And if you're like me, you need lots of kit because you're a bit broken and can't use lots of things. So you want that environment,
Machines are the best thing ever. You need loads of machines because you don't want to be lifting up dumbbells and all that sort of stuff.
no, just sit on machines.
Yeah, that's it. You just sit on a machine and then you just be there scrolling Instagram.
No, I don't do that. I do actually train out. I just
Oh,
struggle.
okay.
I've got a bad hip, Matt. And a bad shoulder. I'm very broken. So you want a good range of kit, but
Yeah.
also you don't just want like, okay, cool, you've got this good range of kit and it's full of like bodybuilders, but they're all assholes. Like, that's
Yeah.
not really what you want. There's a gym that's local, like back in North Devon, that's like that. And I'm like, I am not training down there. Whereas there's other gyms where, yeah, it's full of bodybuilders. Yeah, they've got great kit, but everyone's just really nice.
Yeah.
That's what you need. That's what you need. With shows and stuff, then as well, is there anything that you obviously you go to a lot of shows? And like you said, there is some really good aspects of that. We met each other, well, from competing, but then I'd say became friends from kind of working together.
Yeah.
Maybe give me the little thumbs up. I know what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And obviously you do meet good people, but is there aspects that you think that different shows could improve on? Is there things that you often see that you think that could be done differently? Do you see a lot of that from where you're kind of stood as well?
A lot of the things that I say improve differently are just from like a visual standpoint and like
Yeah.
from me. So I don't really get involved with like athletes and all that sort of stuff. Like for me, I'm there just to take photos and make sure everything's, the best that it can be. So the main things for me are just making sure like the lighting is the best it can. Decent background, making sure it's not the same color as your tan. That's always a good thing because you want to, stand out. But what was sort of quite nice back in the day was when it was like all the extras the athletes would get,
Yeah.
so like the goodie bags and everything else like that, and the prizes for doing things. Because the thing is, like competing is expensive, and a lot of times, especially like amateur level, you don't really get much back.
No.
If you might get the odd medal or tiara and stuff like that if you do quite well, but apart from that, there's no not really much in terms, well, hardly anything like monetary value wise.
Not like they used to be.
No.
That show I did at NFM in 2021.
Yeah.
2019, but it wasn't. It was 2021. I came back, my boot of my car was full. And I had quite a big boot in that car. It was full of stuff. And like, I've never done a show since where I've got back like anywhere near that. Like maybe a bag if I'm lucky.
But I think that's just fitness in general, because I remember like going to like Body Power back in the day, and I had like a VIP pass. So that was when I started trying to get into like fitness photography, was I went to like Body Power to sort of see what it was about. So that was like 2017, I think it was.
Want to say they stopped in 2018, 2019.
Yeah, so it might be in 2016, 15, 16. I think it went 15, 16, 17, and then it then sort of like stopped. But like the first one I went to, like 3 day VIP gold, you know, the biggest sort of thing. Because I remember going down to breakfast. I was staying in the Holiday Inn and walked down. This is big, massive, like lump of a bodybuilder, and then it's just huge breakfast. And I didn't really know at the time like who people were. I was just like into training and stuff like that. And then it was Rich Piana.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So Rich Piana was having like breakfast, because I met him at the like the Mutant stand, because he was on Mutant at the time. But yeah, it was him just in the breakfast thing at the Holiday Inn. But yeah, I used to have like a goodie bag that was just like full. I remember like it filling like the whole bed. It'd just be like shakers and t-shirts and free samples and all that sort of stuff. But then each time I went to it the next year, it got like less and less and less.
Yeah,
But I
completely.
think it's just down to like the cost of, you know, how much it is to put on like shows, because like some venues can be 4, 5, 6,000 pounds just to hire to put on a show.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
So unless you get like a sponsor behind it, then there's not really much that you're getting.
No, but I do remember you just used to come back with bags and bags and bags of like. I remember you'd walk into Body Power and you'd get a Body Power t-shirt, wouldn't you, in your goodie bag,
Yeah.
like loads of other crap in. But I'd just come back with like I've got like gym sets and stuff that I got for free. They used to fire them at them cannons, didn't they?
Yeah, the little cannons and
Shirts and gym sets and
yeah.
endless shakers. Recently, I've had to start buying shakers because I think people aren't as they don't give them as away like they used to. I didn't buy a shaker for years.
I got rid of loads, because I had so many that I had to get rid of like 50 shakers. Just from like over the years, just like getting more and more and more. I'm just like, well, I don't need that many. So I've only got now like three, and they're like three that I've like bought. So they're the like blender bottle ones, so a little bit better and stuff like that.
I got
But
one of those for free actually years ago. I think it was Applied Nutrition when it had it like you press the button and it did a little whizzy.
oh, I had one of those, but yeah.
I loved it and I dropped it. I was on my because I used to make a shake with it and then I used to drink it on the way to work.
Yeah.
And I dropped it one day
Oh no.
on the way to work and it smashed and I was heartbroken. And I remember going back to Applied Nutrition the next, it was like at the Arnold's or something. And I was like, I want this whizzy bottle. Like, I had one off you. I got it for free, but I'm happy to pay. And he was like,
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about. No, you do.
Yeah.
They
It's
call it
this
something
bottle.
else,
Yeah.
not a whizzy bottle. Apparently,
Yeah.
that wasn't the correct name. And he was like, no.
No.
Like, well, you're fucking shit then, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't buy anything off them anymore.
Because of the whizzy bottle.
It's a whizzy bottle, yeah. You wouldn't
Yeah.
get a whizzy Oh dear. But I do think, you know, the Arnold's is coming back. Hopefully that was pretty good last time, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I went for one of the days. I think it was the Saturday I went and saw.
Yeah, I think it might have been because I think I was only there one day as well.
Yeah, so it's that, because it's the same day or same weekend as the photography show, which was at the NEC as well.
You did a bit of
But
both.
yeah, so I went to Arnold's on the Saturday. Snuck into finals.
Oh, did you? I didn't sneak in that year.
Yeah, well, no, I say sneaking, but basically, from Will, because he was working with Chemical Warfare, he had media wristbands. So he gave me an extra media wristband, and then was able to get into the Arnold's finals and watch that.
All right then. I was
Yeah,
in one
so
of
that.
the year. I did the year before.
Yeah. But no, it'd be good to sort of see it again, because I think that's what sort of like missed out, especially like the start of like the UK scene, because that was what it was last year, was it just like the Arnolds like kicked it all off the UK, and
And it
then
was
it was,
fun.
yeah.
I don't know. There's Fit Expo end of May, isn't there?
Yeah, so there's May, and then there's one in November, which then the finals as well. So the one in May is Bolton Arena, so up near like Manchester area.
Might pop up, show my face.
Yeah, no, it should be good. I don't know what to expect really, but
Go up and
yeah.
take photos. Just go up and take photos.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like a lot of times, I don't get involved with like the behind the scenes sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Like I just turn up and work with what I'm given, and that's it. I give like feedback in terms of like what can be improved and everything else. But then, yeah, it's up to me to make that stage look the best it can be.
Yeah. That's cool. So yeah, lots of photos this year at shows. Lots of different, I'm guessing, one-to-ones as well, group shoots, all of that.
Yeah, so I've got shoot this weekend, and then another on Monday, and then show on Sunday, and then it's getting into that sort of like busy sort of time.
Yeah.
But then like June, July, show season for me tends to like stop. I don't know why there's no shows over summer holidays. So then just, have more like personal shoots, group shoots, and then like the water shoots as well that I do. So there's a
Yeah.
mixture of different things to, make sure you get that physique captured in the best possible way you can.
Yeah. I do think it's nice as well to go. I mean, Stageley is cool to do like your gym shoots with and obviously your stage. But then I like to be a little bit softer for a lot of other shoots. Like that water shoot you do, I like Stageley and I'm like, meh.
No, it's one of those. It's the happy medium of being like stage lean is fine for like say the stage, but
Yeah.
then like photo shoots, maybe like the day after. When
Yeah.
you've had something that's a little bit fuller, or I'd say like a week before,
Yeah.
so the start of like peak week, which I know it can be sort of quite taxing on some people to have a personal shoot when it is like peak week time, because you're then very depleted. Is that sort of last little push, the last thing you want to be doing is getting put through almost like a full intense gym workout, because that's what a shoot tends to be,
Yeah.
because they're like holding, squeezing, posing. You end up just having to make sure that you're not that depleted that you can't hold a pose.
Yeah.
So it tends to be, week, week and a half. So then you are lean, you're a little bit softer. But I know like some people, they like to have it, in the middle of shows, like the one
Yeah.
that's at the on Sunday. So it's a guy that competed at the first FitEx show. He done PCA last week. I think he's doing IF DEA or IF
You're making something up here.
one federation. I know it's a Welsh show.
Right, IBFA.
Pardon?
So IBFA.
That's the one. Yeah,
Yeah, that's the one.
that one. There's so many little acronyms though.
I
It's any
know.
like any four three letter word.
Yeah, just some letters. We'll just throw them
Yeah,
out.
pick some letters, and there'd be whatever it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so his is after his show.
Yeah,
So then
nice.
also means you don't have to worry about tan, because you'll be tan from the day before.
Yeah.
But then it's making sure you then don't like blow out too much, because I had one like years ago. So went all the way to Scotland, a guy competed at a show. He then had a bit too much post-show food, and then it's then sort of trying to hold that pose.
Yeah, if
So
you
it's fine for like squeezing your biceps and everything else of that, but then it's trying to control your midsection.
yeah,
So
absolutely.
that's the hardest part, that if anyone's like doing a shoot, I'd say practice posing as if you're doing it for like stage stuff.
Yeah,
Like
that's
looking in the mirror, seeing that sort of mind muscle connection, to be like, right, deep breath in, blow it all out, control, squeeze, crunch down, because that's what can make or break a picture. Because you could be as lean as possible, but if you can't show that off correctly,
Yeah.
then.
Yeah. And is there anything you'd say, like outfit wise, makeup wise, it doesn't work?
Like bold colors tend to work. It all depends on like the person. Because people say, oh, what should I wear? Like with guys, it just tends to be like shorts. If you're sort of trying to show your physique off, you don't want it covered up, so you're not going to be wearing like an oversized t-shirt like I am now, because it's covering it all up. Like I know when I done my shoot, so I done a shoot like 2 3 years ago with Bailey up at his old studio in Nottingham. I took a cut-off sleeved top, so not like a full vest stringer, because I don't wear those, so just like a sleeveless top, two pairs of shorts, and then I might have had like three different pairs, but I only wore like two, but then most of the shoots were then just done in this other pair. So it's finding outfits that make you feel comfortable and that you're confident in. I wouldn't go out there and be like, oh, I want to buy this outfit, never wear it, and then come to the street and be like, oh, I don't like it. It's trying to sort of find those things that make you feel the best version of yourself. And then like makeup wise, don't go over the top. So like some people, they go fully like dark eyed and all this sort of stuff. It's end of the day, it's down to like what you want to look like. The only other thing I'll sort of say is make sure you have a decent tan. Like tan's the most important thing on a shoot, because that's why recently I've done like a blog post on my website about tan and the importance of tanning, and how it can impact you on your shoot. Because the thing is, like, same as being on stage, the lights are so bright that you don't want to be washed out,
100%.
but then you don't want a tan that's too dark. It's that sort of happy medium.
Yeah. Because I guess a shoot, it's not as bright a lights as what you have on stage.
No.
But for me, for when I shoot, I use the base coat tan. So I'll use the pro tan base coat.
Yeah.
Use that and don't use a top coat.
Yeah, that's all you need is just, having that extra bit of color. Because then when you apply oil and stuff like that, if you're pale and you apply oil, you then just like a Krispy Kreme ring donut. Because there's no sort of color behind it. You're just, glazing over everything. Whereas, having that deeper tan just means it allows you to sort of stand out a lot more. And then you can, up the power of the light a little bit more to make you sort of stand out. Because in a day in a gym shoot, I'm there making the background as dark as possible, so then all the light is then emphasizing you.
That's cool. So I've got one last question for you, Matt.
Okay.
Is there anything else you wanted to cover?
No, I think we've done quite a lot.
For everyone listening today, what is the one thing you'd want them to take away from today's podcast?
Make sure you buy your stage pictures before the show. That's one of the main things. Because pricing always goes up after the show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You didn't
It's
tell me that.
always been the way. But then since last year, I've done it that everything's more automated. Before I had to like manually go in and update things and stuff like that. Whereas now it's when I publish the show date and the show poster for bookings, it's already set that the day after the show, so at 11:59 p.m., that next minute, the price then goes up.
Right, put them before then.
Yeah, book them before. Because the thing is, like, when you register for a show, you should have a tick list of, right, registered, done my class, booked my tan. Next thing is then your stage media. So photos, videos, stuff like that. Because then you're then covered.
Yeah, you've got everything.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Because at the end of the day, yes, I capture everybody, but the last thing you want to do is miss out on the opportunity to have your time on stage documented in the best possible way.
Yeah, 100%. Cool. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think that's it.
Cool. So if people want to find you, if they've got any questions or they want to book in for some stage photography or a shoot, where can they contact you to?
So Instagram, I'm on there quite a bit. So Matt Thomas Photo, so MATTTHOMAS Photo. Or if you go onto Google, just type Matt Thomas Photography. It then comes out on there. I've got a YouTube thing as well. So,
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Matt Thomas Photography.
And then
Got it all.
you do. Well done,
But
you.
yeah, Instagram tends to be the most thing. That's where I sort of share all the reels, so the winning reels or stage pictures, gym shoots, and then the website is where you can like book your content. So personal shoots, video content if you need it, and then obviously the stage stuff.
You do like, say if I was going to the gym to do a YouTube video, do that for me. Oh, I don't know if you did that as a service.
I'll just rather than using this as a webcam, I'll point it at you.
Thanks. I have to come to dark.
No, it's something because nowadays, like online and social media, and it's down to being rather than being a photographer and classing yourself as a photographer, you're then more of a content creator.
Yeah.
Like using it quite a loose term because I know there's people that are like content creators, but this is, you're more content producing. So, the cameras I've got now that they can do video as well. So that was the main reason for, transitioning from just doing stage photography to doing stage photography and stage videography and then combining them as one thing. Because, flick a switch on the camera and then it starts, your video recording. So I thought, right, I do that, then create a package where it's like exercise libraries or, YouTube videos, cinematic reels, different things. So it's, trying to give you everything you need, whether it's pictures or videos.
Yeah, and it's good to be able to do both because, like you said, there's a lot more, especially the last 5 years, there's a lot more videographers out there, isn't there?
I'd say even less than that. In the last like 2, 3 years, you tend to get like more and more people
Yeah.
coming up from places. But it's then trying to sort of differentiate yourself from what everyone else is doing to then do it in your own unique sort of way and style. But yeah, that's what I sort of tend to do.
Yeah, because there's certain people I know that I'm like, I really like their work. And there's other people that I just think, like, it's all right. No, there's some people that are really good that, I've used or whatever. And I think there's, their stuff looks nice and you can tell it's them that have made it. But other people, I just think, oh, I could have just shot that myself. It wasn't that great.
It's the passion behind it because I think that's what I like about the stage stuff is because I am quite passionate about it because I know how much it takes to get into, I've never competed myself. I've got no ambition of doing that, but I know the dedication and the time and effort it takes. So it's just that, for me, taking a little bit of extra time to make sure the visuals from a show day are the best they can be, no matter what the lighting is and everything else of that reflects better on me, and then you're happier with like your overall look and package that you can then be like, oh, I look quite good here, or tweak this, change this, do that. And that's the other thing with the reels, is it's quite good for from like a posing point of view as well, because you get a lot of clients that say if they do like an eye walk, you can then see what needs to sort of be changed and tweaked, and better transitions and everything else from that.
Yeah, absolutely. But thank you so much for coming on.
No problem at all.
Thank you everyone for listening or watching wherever you are. If you like, share, subscribe to the channel, whether that's on Spotify or YouTube, that would be lovely. And we will see you in the next one. Goodbye.
Bye.